providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you guys enjoyed the top of the hour news. As I say every week, I hope it was better in your neck of the woods than it was in mine and it was in Jimmy's. Having said that, I'm going to talk about the ineffectiveness of gun control right now. You know, the Texas Massacre, as it's becoming to be known, was a really, really good example of how gun control through unavailability is not the correct way to handle the problem that is raising its ugly head daily in America. Jimmy, your comments.
Yeah, so we've got this, you know, this terrible dilemma, this absolutely horrific event that happened in Uvalde, Texas, where, you know, a crazy 18-year-old spends between $6,000 and $9,000 on weapons, ammunition, a vest, when he has no money. It's very weird, you know, part-time worker, I think, at a Burger King or something like that. He gets involved in basically attacks a school after publicly stating on social media and actually being called on social media that a school shooter, mm-hmm. and bragging about it and attempting to, you know, contact people to explain what he was going to do. He goes, drives into a school, he shoots up. The cops respond absolutely miserably, a very strange set of circumstances and events that should have been stopped very soon. But of course, after an hour and I believe hour and 17 minutes,
I think it was closer to 22 minutes, but it still was way too long.
Wait, well, it's an hour and 17 or hour and 22 minutes from the time that he entered the school until he was killed by Border Patrol agents and their special tactics team. Right. When the law enforcement, the local law enforcement, failed to do, basically halted the attempts to try to save children. And apparently a number of children died after the fact. Regardless, the tragedy of that is really not a justification to take away people's constitutional Second Amendment rights that say this shall not be, the right to bear arms shall not be abridged. You can't do that. You can't change that without really taking control of the nation and changing the Constitution.
Right.
And apparently, Democrats think that their emotional appeal is strong enough for them to make statements like the Democratic Congressman Sicilian from Rhode Island said yesterday that spare me the BS, quote, I'm paraphrasing here, the BS about constitutional rights during a Dundee debate. You know, they're willing to sacrifice constitutional rights in order to punish law-abiding citizens when in fact the problem is very clearly not with the individuals that are following the law. You
right.
can't pass more laws to stop something like this, and you're certainly not going to confiscate 300 to 400 million guns in
no.
America, nor change the Constitution. So basically what they're doing is using this tragedy, the Democrats are using this tragedy as a political tool to fire up the emotions, very similar to they used the COVID fear
yeah.
tactics. To appeal to a voter base that will basically turn out and help them. I think it's a huge mistake on their part, and I think they just do not understand that their policies, the policies that Democratic leaders in major Democratic cities attempting to put gun control have failed miserably. You look at the statistics in Detroit, in apparently it's doing a little bit better right now because they got a pretty strong share police chief down there, but in Baltimore, in Chicago, in New York, basically people are dying in the most restrictive gun control areas in the country that are run by Democrats. Their policies fail. They are trying to cut law enforcement budgets. They are destroying safety and security in America, and unfortunately, they are willing to continue to push against basic constitutional rights that allow people to defend themselves, when in fact the only time that a cop comes is after the act happened. So if someone breaks into your house, he's not coming to save you then. He's coming after somebody is shot and killed.
Right.
So you better be able to defend yourself, in my view, especially as they try to cut the funding and make it harder for cops to help you.
Well, I mean, it's become pretty obvious in our country that a lot of people would not have been killed, for example, in Texas if they had a defense mechanism set up. A lot of people wouldn't have been killed at Sandy Hook. A lot of kids would not have been killed at Sandy Hook if a defense mechanism was being set up. But instead of concentrating on a defense mechanism, what the powers that be are concentrating on is a simple legislation so that guns are difficult, if not impossible, to get, you know?
Well, and it's like, you know, dangerous people, criminals, people that are going to go out and hurt people should not have guns.
Right.
I don't question that ever. I'm not going to, you know, that's not the argument here. The question is, what type of policies do you put in place that protect individuals from such craziness? And how much do you use? And again, we have to be very careful of our personal liberties across the board, because if you, in fact, establish some of these policies, you're going to be able to take away the rights of many individuals based on assumptions.
Right.
Based on almost like there's a movie out, a Minority Report, a Tom Cruise movie, pre-crime, where law enforcement thinks that you might cause a problem. And, you know, we can't allow that. Ultimately, it is a challenging society to live in. So how do we work on making each other trust each other better? And how do we educate and inform and give people self-confidence and not get this hate and not encourage the drug use, not encourage these crazy ideologies that undermine faith and confidence in each other and in our society, in our faith, in our moral values? And that's where I see our biggest problem is today. The left is undermining church. They're undermining trust. They're undermining faith in God. They're undermining basic principles that have humanity has evolved over many, many years with in order to improve our society. And they're taking those away in order to achieve political power and put us under the thumb of a state, which is exactly what, you know, powerful authoritarians have done throughout history.
It's not going to work, and it hasn't worked. It's not going to work. You know, they're giving credence to the people are trying to give credence to the statement that a democracy can only last for about 200 years, and then it won't work anymore. Well, we're getting pretty close to 200 years, but I have to tell you, I think that the American democracy, personally, if we can just get out of this abyss that we're in right now, and it is an abyss, if we can just get out of this, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape. And I think we're going to show the world that freedom and democracy is going to win in the end. There is no way that the current administration is able to do that, because they are absolutely too set in their ways. Hell, they can't even keep their kids straight in their own family. Sad situation, Jimmy. Very, very sad situation. Why don't you wrap it up? We got about a minute.
Yeah, so, you know, as I'm you think this through and you realize how many problems we're facing in America, and then you look back and say, okay, how well were we doing prior to COVID? You know, we'd actually had a long string of reduced crime and, kind of positive belief in each other.
Right.
You had this little blip during the Obama administration, which I believe created a tremendous problem with the racial equity type of issues and the diversity. And somehow those people have now taken control. The crazies, the left, the climate ideologists, the BLM people, the Antifa, they've taken control of the left. They're driving us into the ground, and people are not willing to stand up because they're afraid. And of course, that's how they use the power and the influence in order to achieve their political ends.
Yeah. Keep it going, Jimmy. You got 10 seconds.
Yeah, no, so I think we may have a hope here. Can get a good election.
We're going to have a good election. We're going to make sure up here, at least in the Northwest, that we do. I got about 32 people signed up to be witnesses to election. We're going to try to prevent tampering.